Today's message has been brought to you by Faith Family Church in Billings, Montana. For more information, visit faithfamilybillings.com.
Amen. Hallelujah. Aren't you glad he loves you? Well, let's go to part five here. I want to talk this morning about qualifying for prosperity. Increase, financial increase. I want to touch a couple of things, and then we'll wrap it up and get you on your way. Hallelujah. There is always something to be thankful for. Go to Philippians chapter number 4, and I want to read kind of our main text. What I want to do is continue in the series, Giving and Receiving. We are gaining understanding from Scripture on finances, money. Here's what we have looked at so far. Is prosperity scriptural? Does poverty mean piety? And then finally, we answer the question, was Jesus poor? Today, we're going to look at the final argument concerning poverty, the poverty argument against Jesus. And then we're going to look at how we can qualify for biblical prosperity. You know, Brother Hagin said this, basically, money without eternal purpose is just frustration, okay? You got to have an eternal purpose to why you have your money and what you have it for. And you know, part of that eternal purpose is to meet your needs. Did you know that? That's part of it. Part of it, though, is to advance the kingdom of God. And so I want to look at this, and as we're looking at these scriptures, don't just think, try and get your mind in the context of what God is saying, not in the context of your current situation, okay? So this is always the challenge for every believer, okay? How do we navigate and get what God is saying to plug into where we're at right now? Because there are always two sides to everything. There's always two voices speaking to you. There's God's voice by His Scripture and by His Holy Spirit, and then there's the voice of the world in your circumstances, and just the natural. Does that make sense? And the enemy too, okay? So the enemy is working, God's working. We're always going to function in this tension, just so you know that, okay? You know, sometimes I know when I was younger in the Lord, I used to think, oh, the Lord's going to answer me, and then all my problems are going to go away. Actually, that one will, and then you'll deal with the next one. Well, you're a mean preacher. I don't want to hear that. Okay, then you don't want to ever hear Jesus, because He's the one that said it. You're always going to have something. You know, you notice that the promised land that the Israelites took always had an enemy on it? You know, people try and preach that the promised land is heaven. You'll hear different denominations try and preach that. The promised land is heaven. No, it's not. There's no enemies in heaven. The comparison doesn't work. Is there giants in heaven? Is there enemies in heaven? Are you going to get there and go, somebody's living in my mansion? Jesus, I thought we had the victory. He's like, well, you know, I wanted you to have something to do while you were here, you know, so. No, those enemies are here. But don't worry, you've got a sling, it's called your tongue, and you've got a stone, a whole book of them. Speaky, the wordy. Amen? Speaky, the wordy, that's Greek. For speak the word. I know these things. Father in heaven, we love you. We thank you for your word. Lord, teach us this morning. Holy Spirit, speak through me. Lord, we believe you for increase in our lives, increase of understanding, decrease of ourselves, but increase of you, so that we can fulfill the purpose that you have for us in everything and in every area that your word speaks to. Lord, this is a lifelong commitment, and I'm in it till the end. So, Lord, I'm going to do the best I can. And I know these here are believing for the best they can in everything by the power of the Holy Spirit to accomplish and fulfill and prove all things according to your word. Lord, we thank you for the faith fight, and we believe your word in it, knowing that you've given us the victory, and we will see it. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so Philippians chapter 4, verse number 15 says this, "Now you Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church shared with me concerning giving and receiving, you only." That word shared means distributed. It means actually to be a partaker or a partner. So when you give, we just took up the offering, but when you give, what you're doing is you are saying, "God, I believe that you connected me to a ministry. I believe that you connected me to a church, and I support that. So I'm in agreement with your vision of what God is doing in this place." You're actually giving to Jesus. You're not giving to me. Okay? Now, the money, when it comes in, can be used for all sorts of things as far as ministry is concerned. But what you're doing is you're giving to the Lord. You're not giving to a person. I know people, and I've been around long enough now where I've heard many things. You know, people say, "Well, I should probably give." Why? Well, it's the right thing to do. Is that a scripture? It's the right thing to do? Well, I feel bad if I don't give. Is that a scripture? Divine manipulation. We'll let that one settle in. Why? I got to give. Why? God's going to destroy everything in my life if I don't. Remember, he's God the Father, your Father, Father God. He's not the God Father. Right? I mean, I'm not coming to your house. I don't even know who gives what. I don't even look at it. You know, me and Mike show up at the door. Knock, knock, knock. Oh, who's there? It's Vinny and Guido. We're here for the tithe. Come on. The Lord's going to give us lots of humor in this, because whenever you talk about money, people are like, you know. I'm not taking up an offering at the end, so just what you're getting is information from the scripture. You do with it what you want. It's your responsibility. See, here's the beauty. I have to stand before the Lord for me. I don't have to for you. You get to for you. I can give the scripture. So now if I don't preach, if I don't give you scripture on it, if I don't give you the truth on it, then I'll be in trouble for that. You understand what I mean? I'll be held accountable for that. God's not going to send me to hell. You understand? I'm going to heaven. But there will be an accounting, just like your kids. Your kids are in the family. They're not getting out of the family unless they divorce you. Unless they decide, "I don't want to be in that family no more." They're staying in the, you love your kids till the day that you pass or they pass. It won't make it, your love for them is unconditional. Does that make sense? And if you've chosen, God's already chosen you to be in the family, but you got to choose to be in his. You have to make that decision to put him in, you know, be a part of that family. But I'm just telling you right now, God's not the one that's separating anybody. People separate from God. He doesn't separate from them. They choose to reject him. Okay, so in that case, even with your own family, there are times with your kids that you have to correct them, correct? Is that right? I mean, if you're not correcting them, you should be. You know, my child's an angel. They're a terror if you're not correcting them. You may think they're an angel, but nobody else does. You know, if your kids get a lot of compliments, like, "They're really cute. Look how nice they look." But it's never, "Man, they're well behaved." You might want to think about it. Okay, I better move on from that point. People are like, "Oh, that was funny for about a second," you know. In other words, God instructs us and corrects us. See, the worst thing you can do is get hard toward the word. "Well, I don't like that verse. I don't like the way they said it." You better watch it. You're on a slippery slope. It'll get you. That offense, you know. The preacher is probably talking about me. The preacher's probably not even thinking about you. For all you know, the preacher could be thinking about cupcakes in the children's area. Come on, preach it, brother. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse number 9. Paul said this, "For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that you through his poverty might become rich." Now, if you read 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and you read 2 Corinthians chapter 9, if you read both those chapters, all they're talking about is money. That's it. They're about finances, okay? So this is not a spiritual thing, right? I mean, it is in the sense that it's the grace of God, but he's not specifically talking about spiritual things. You know, people will try and take these scriptures and they'll try and turn them in, yeah, we're going to be rich in love and rich in, we should be full and rich in all those things, but he's talking about money. Now, if you understand the word rich, people's minds go kaboom when they hear the word rich. And often they allow what they've been fed either by circumstance or by their own family or different things like that about what rich means. Rich means a full supply. That's what that word means. A full supply. So, is Bill Gates rich? If you have to think about it, you don't know anything about him. Is he rich? But is God telling you you're going to be Bill Gates? No. Now, rich in the mind of people has a lot of different, ways of thinking. But if you have no bills and you make $50,000 a year, you have a full supply. So Heidi and I have gone through this process in the last year, 8, 10 months, whatever. We paid off a bunch of debts and stuff like that. And the Lord's led us to do different things. And he said, sell your house. And so we signed a buy sell last Wednesday. Is on the market a month. But when you're led by the Lord, okay, you got to know when you hear. So we did that. So thanks for believing with us because we asked you to pray about it. So, but my point is this, is that if you don't have payments on things, you have more supply, right? You know, there's no law in the scripture that says once you reach $1 million in your life and you have that money, and some people are going, $1 million, if I had $1 million, okay, it could be any number, whatever the number is, there's no scripture that says now you've reached and now you're stepping into gluttony and lust of money, and none of that, the amounts are not what matter, it's the heart. And is God first? Because people will take scriptures that are out of context that talk about rich people in the New Testament. And they'll take them out of context of what's being said and try and turn money into something evil. Money is amoral. It doesn't have a morality. It has no morality. The money gains an influence and a morality the moment it gets into your hands. Does that make sense? So if you want to know, if you want to have an understanding of where your money goes, get a budget. Nobody's rejoicing over that. I'm getting a few head nods. Get a budget. Start looking at your receipts and categorizing things. Where is it going? What is it doing? You know, groceries is not evil. So you can just put that in the category of we're not starving to death. You know what I mean? Most of the areas where our money goes is not evil. But what you have to do is begin to look at those things and understand, okay, how are we dividing this up? How are we making this work? And then move forward from there and get an understanding of it. And what God will do is he'll lead you in his process. He'll get you in order. He'll get you in place. And then he'll, step by step, he'll get you to a place where you begin to qualify for more and more and more and more and more and more. Does that make sense? To the point where you're satisfied. Okay? I don't know if you've noticed, but there's ways to make money in the earth that are good, and there's ways to make money that are bad. You say, what determines it? You do. By what you decide to do with your money. Okay? All right. So, let's look at this. Let's answer this one thing real quick to wrap it up. Was Jesus poor? Deuteronomy 29:29. If you want to turn there, or scroll there or whatever you got, tablet, phone, whatever. I don't believe he was. And we looked at several reasons. You can go listen to that. It was last week's. But Deuteronomy 29:29, how many think Jesus fulfilled Old Testament law when he was on earth? That he followed all the rules. He did it perfectly, actually. Deuteronomy 29:9 says, therefore keep the words of this covenant and do them, that you may prosper in all that you do. So I wonder if he prospered in all that he did. Jesus did. 29:9, Joshua 1:7. These are words that God gave and man took. Joshua 1:7, only be strong and very courageous, that you may observe to do according to all of the law which Moses my servant commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may prosper wherever you go. Did Jesus obey the law? Perfectly, actually. He fulfilled it, which means what? He couldn't have missed one little part of it. Amen? So I wonder if he prospered. 1 Kings 2:3. 1 Kings. Chapter 2, verse 3. It says, in verse 1, it says this, now the days of David drew near that he should die, and he charged Solomon his son, saying, I go the way of all the earth. Be strong, therefore, and prove yourself a man. Verse 3, and keep the charge of the Lord your God to walk in his ways, to keep his statutes, his commandments, his judgments, and his testimonies, as it is written in the law of Moses, that you may prosper in all that you do wherever you turn. How many think Solomon prospered? Have you seen the news? Jesse Duplantis is buying that airplane. Everybody's like, oh, preachers, it's evil. I'll just tell you this. Be careful what you touch. You say, what do you mean by that? Just be careful. What if God did tell him to get that airplane? Don't do this. Okay? Don't do what I do. Here it comes, right? Some people are going, I'm doing it. I'm doing it. Okay. You want to be careful with that stuff because, for one, whose servant is he? Can God take care of him? Are we God? Careful. What if you showed up in a nice, real nice car? I'll just say real expensive. And I looked at you and, can't believe it. That money could have been given to this church. Okay, you say, well, you shouldn't do that. You're the preacher. You shouldn't do it because you're a Christian. Careful. Let me ask you this. How do you know how much he's given? Do you know? You know, I went to school where Brother Hagin, he was given a watch by people that was worth $35,000. It was a Rolex. People sent him it. He just sent it to him. He didn't ask for it. He wasn't looking for it. People look at that and they go, oh, that could have been sold and given to the ministry. So could your Timex. What is it? I think I got one on that one. What did that guy do? Is that not right? Anyway. I'm 41. Cool is over for me. You know, it's interesting because I actually told that to a friend of mine years ago. This was years ago. And he was so mad. I said, how much did you give to the church last year? Ooh, he got quiet. He got real quiet quick. And he said to me, he said, well, you know, that's not, you know, this, that, and the other. He's trying to judge this. And I happened to find out how much Brother Hagin gave to the ministry that year. You know, it was over $200,000. Boom. I'm just saying, we got to be careful with this, guys, because bitterness can settle in. None of you have to give $200,000 to the ministry. What is God telling you to do? Does that make sense? And the bigger issues here are not the numbers. You know how much your government wastes on buildings? Tax money? And they run around these different political... We got to get out of all that stuff and get focused and have our heart towards God and let God sift. All I'm saying with it is this. I'm going to keep my heart right. Because I do not want to end up in a place where I end up getting judged based on, come on, because I'm doling out all this other stuff. So I've read the comments underneath the news report. And I just want to message these people individually. Yeah. How many have seen the it's not a meme or it's a motion or something, but it's from Pirates of the Caribbean. And it's what's the guy's name, the main actor in it? Jack Sparrow, yeah. And it says, when you post something on the internet, it shows him running and screaming. And there's this massive tribe behind him with spears and stuff like that coming after him. It is our culture. Oh, look at you, you tough guy. You can post something on Facebook and run away and nobody ever knows who it was. They can't. Come on. And a lot of those people are just hacks. They're trolls. They're just people that show up. They have alter egos. It's a separate thing altogether. It doesn't even tie to anybody. And yet people will emotionally invest in those things. You know what I mean? You're never going to see that person. This is why people stay out of the church, because this preacher has this, da 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 da. Maybe they stay out because you're a whiner and they don't want anything to do with you in your church. Oh, I'm feeling fire this morning, I can tell. So that's why I don't read the comments underneath the... Maybe your bitterness is a terrible witness. We're busy judging someone else when we should be taking care of ourselves. And that's where we got to be careful with that. We got to be careful. So you can see from Old Testament scriptures, we totally went on a rabbit trail there. Do you know how much Solomon's temple cost? Billions. Billions and billions. Solomon had so much gold that silver was like copper, is what the Bible says. I mean, you look at that and you go, wow. The issue is not whether money cannot be evil or good. It can only be what you do with it. It doesn't have an independent nature. It's what you put into it. And so let's finish this morning with this, qualifying. What does it really mean to qualify for prosperity? Let's look at, let's go to the New Testament, somewhere in there. Oh, okay, here we are. Go to Mark. Nope, don't go to Mark. Matthew chapter 6. Found it. And we'll end here today. You know, you could take this scripture that I'm about to read you and you could sit on it for the whole week. Don't even read anywhere else in your reading. And just sit on this one and see what happens. Matthew chapter 6. I'm going to go to Jesus is talking about several things here, okay? And so we can't go into all the detail of what he's talking about. But Matthew chapter 6, he talks about fasting. He talks about doing good. He talks about the model of prayer as far as that goes. And then he talks about in verse 19, laying up treasures in heaven. He said this, Matthew 6, verse 19. Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. Remember, we talked about piles of ashes. I am very thankful that we have the blessings we do in America. Okay? But some people are just after things. I mean, we have an issue in America of just having stuff, because we want to have stuff on top of stuff. And I'm okay with having stuff, but the reality is every one of your iPods, every one of your iPhones, first of all, it's going to be outdated in a few years anyway. Every one of your boats, your cars, your houses, everything is going to go back to dust. Okay? So that's what he's saying here. He's not saying don't have those things. He's saying, where are your treasures? Because where your treasure is, there your heart is. So listen to me very carefully. As you're going through your receipts at home, they will not lie to you. People are like, look, they'll pray, Lord, show me who I am. Just read your receipts. You don't even need a vision. You don't need a prophetic word. Just read them. They'll tell you where stuff goes. Does that make sense? People, see, this is for serious people. This isn't for players. You know what I mean? This isn't for people like, oh, I'm just, you know, I like the church and stuff. This is for serious people. I want to know where, yeah, I want to prosper. Well, do you want to look at your receipts? Well, no, I don't want to do that. Okay. Then don't. But if Jesus was standing here, this is what he would tell you. Do not lay up for yourselves treasures in earth or on earth, where moth and rust steal, where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures where? In heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves do not break in and steal. See, he told you there is no evil in heaven. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Verse 22, the lamp of the body is the eye. If therefore your eye is good, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in you is darkness, how great is the darkness? Listen to verse 24. This is what I want you to see this morning. This is what I want you to take away. No one can serve two masters. For either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will love the one and despise the other. Stop, pause. What is Jesus talking about? The next words tell you. You cannot serve what? God and? Did Jesus tell you not to have money? What did he say? You cannot serve God and money. One of them is going to rule you. And back up in the verse. All right, just leave it there. No one can serve two masters, for either will hate the one and love the other. Is that true? So if you love money, who's left to hate? Powerful, isn't it? I read through it sometimes. I go, okay, Jesus, help me. You say, well, I don't love money, and I know I don't. Have some of it stolen from you. How much does it move you? All right, husbands and wives. Me and my wife walked through this. You all get a join. How much emotion can be stirred up when you're going through the budget? Don't tell me money doesn't play on us. It does. That's why we've been talking about humility. You say, well, you're perfect in it. Oh, no, you could ask my wife. I'm not. You're going to either love one and hate the other, or you're going to love the other and hate the one. You cannot be loyal to two. It's impossible. So, what is this that you're talking about? You said you're going to teach us how to qualify for God's blessings. Ta-da! You cannot serve God and money. Pick one. Which one are you going to pick? Now, see, here's the thing in all of it. If you choose God, you'll get his blessing. I didn't go down in the verses, but anybody know what Matthew 6:33 says? Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and what? All things will be added to you. See, everybody wants to, everybody loves the verse about the all things. They don't like this one. Like, no, 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 just go to the all things. I just want to go to the all things. And I don't even want the seek first the kingdom of God part first. I just want the all things. And then they'll go, preacher, pray for me. Do you know you can give your money, but if he's not first? Woohoo! Glory! Yeah! Run! Somebody shout! This preacher's good! Only because I love you. And so does the Lord. But I tell you this, you'll get super free if you put God first. You'll sleep better at night. Well, I might lose my this. I might lose my that. I might lose this and that. If you don't lose God, you're fine. You're good. You're safe. See, this gets down into the nitty-gritty. See, I don't want to, you know, I've read books. You can stand. I've read books about, you know, and seen just ways that churches raise money. I am not here to raise money. Well, if you don't raise money, Sean, your church is going to go under. If God can't keep his church going, and if we can't do it through biblical principles, and if the people will not respond out of their faithfulness to God to do what he tells them to do, God will pick me up and move me somewhere where he will, where they will. And guess what? I'm willing. You say, you want to get out of here? No, I don't want any. I want everything to happen here. This is where I'm called. This is it. But what happens is God will put a word in the minister. God will minister by his Holy Spirit and begin to deal with people. And then people have to choose to respond. Do you know that there were whole cities in the New Testament that rejected Jesus? I'm not going to be that one. I don't mind picking rocks to make the field smooth, so that God can get his way and the seed can settle deep. See, I care more about your growth than I do my supposed success. Well, if you don't grow this church, Sean, to such and such amount of people, you won't ever be invited as a conference speaker. I'm already invited as a conference speaker. On a very small level still. But that is not my goal. God didn't put the call, he didn't put the gift into me to go to see if I could write a book. If he wanted me to write a book, it wouldn't matter if it was popular or not. I'd have to write it anyway. Come on. Oh, you say, what are you talking about, Sean? I'm trying to get down to where it's just rubber meets the road, heart issues. There are people that have millions and millions and millions of dollars that want to blow their brains out. They're miserable. There are people that have millions and millions of dollars that are advancing the kingdom and full of the joy of the Lord because they don't serve two masters. There are people that are so broke, they don't even know where the next meal's coming from, and they are so full of hunger for money that that's their God. There are people that are so broke that don't know where their next meal's coming from that have the joy of the Lord because they're believing God. The issue is the heart. It's the heart. And I'll just tell you this. It's not easy when you get into your own heart. Because the Holy Spirit gets into you and starts talking to you about things. And whoo, buddy. This past month has been like, whoo, Lord. I told the prayer team this morning, or when we were praying this morning at corporate prayer, I told them, the Lord will walk into the temple and flip over all the tables. And guess who the temple is? You. The Lord will walk into your life and go, money changers. Whip out, just, and then you know what most people do? They do this. Hurry up, put the stuff back, put it back where it was. When in all actuality, this is what we should do. Are you done, Lord? Oh, a couple more? Okay. And then sit. Let him flip everything over in your life. And then he'll go, come up and sit down next to you. And you go, you know, I didn't like that furniture setup, Lord. I am not an interior decorator. What do you want to do? And then he'll go, get rid of those over there. And you go, yes, sir. And you go do it. And then you come back and sit down and go, okay, Lord, what else do you want to do? Amen. Father, we thank you for today. Lord, we thank you for your word. Thank you for speaking to us, Lord. Lord, we purpose. You get a purpose in your heart. Agree with me right now. Deal with us individually. Holy Spirit, speak to us this week. Speak to us. We want to hear from you. And as we do, Lord, come on, mean it if you mean it. We will obey. I will obey, Lord. I will obey. Help me by your Holy Spirit. I will obey. We thank you for your goodness and your mercy, Lord. I thank you for your love, Lord. If there's anybody in here that doesn't know the Lord, make sure you come see me after this, because I want to pray with you. Make sure you make heaven. You miss hell. You need to know that you know before you go. So, or prayer for anything else. And don't forget also, this Wednesday night is our last Wednesday night. And I think we're just going to have snacks and stuff like that. And people are going to show up in their Faith Family Church shirts. So we're just going to have some fellowship. I don't know what the kids are doing, but I know that there's a lady that knows how to bake who's bringing some stuff. So if you want to come, please join us. God bless you guys. Have a great week. If you need prayer for anything, come see us.
Thank you for taking the time to listen today. If you would like more information about Faith Family Church, including service times and location, visit faithfamilybillings.com.